From the studios of Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. Music historian Dave Thompson returns this week. We talked to him last year about his great book, Hearts of Darkness, James Taylor, Jackson Browne, Cat Stevens, and the Unlikely Rise of the Singer-Songwriter. He has a delightful new little book out there now in the If You Like series. It's called If You Like Led Zeppelin. Here are over 200 bands, films, records, and other odysseys that you will love. Dave Thompson, welcome back to From the Bookshelf.
Thank you very much.
Your books have the longest subtitle of any books.
Oh, I know, it's ridiculous. And I couldn't even get in. If you like Led Zeppelin, you might not like James Taylor and Jackson Browne.
Well, I was thinking, you know, Led Zeppelin are so eclectic in their tastes and influences. Then I think it might have been easier a task to write, if you like Led Zeppelin, you won't like this.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I was surprised as I was sort of doing the research and just reading old interviews, just the things that they were coming up with. I mean, Joan Baez is probably still the one that you really wouldn't expect.
Well, they covered her on their first record, right?
Yeah, or they covered something that she covered, but Jimmy Page thought that she'd written it and, you know, gave her the credit.
How odd that Jimmy Page wanted to give credit to anybody.
I know. But yeah, that's always been an interesting area because so many of those old blues songs, it's like nobody knew who wrote them. And it's like, you know, you take one, you do enough to it, you could kind of get away with it in those days.
Well, I know Bob Dylan did it. And
yeah. You know. And, you know, they were not sort of batteries of lawyers sitting there with the meter running.
Because there wasn't all the big bucks that that arrived when Led Zeppelin got there.
No, exactly. It's kind of a sad development that people cannot now sort of, oh, I like that riff, I'll sort of borrow it.
After My Sweet Lord, you really can't do that.
No.
Although, I mean, people still do. The other day I was listening to Neil Young, and he has a song called Mansion on the Hill, which is exactly the same as My Back Pages.
You know, I'd never even noticed that, but
I hope maybe the lawyers are listening now. And
well, I mean, the new David Bowie single sounds just like Give a Little Whistle from Pinocchio. Slower, really? Without the whistling, but it's there.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, there's only so many melodies out there, I guess.
Exactly. And Give a Little Whistle was quite catchy.
Wasn't it? So it looks like you had fun putting together If You Like Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I did.
And I guess there's three basic categories, although you've got a few more. But, I mean, there's influences, then there's contemporaries, and then there's influenced by, right?
Yes.
So who were the big influences?
Obviously, a lot of blues people. Willie Dixon, they really loved, which you can tell just, again, from the first couple of albums. I think you pretty much go through any of the sort of the great bluesmen, Robert Johnson, and detect their influence. But then it does go over the place. You know, it does go into sort of Joan Baez and, I mean, the whole area of English folk, which there's a lot of that in Zeppelin, and not just on the third album. Yeah, you know, which is the one that people always say, oh, that's their folky one. But, you know, even into Houses of the Holy, there are, and Physical Graffiti, there are moments.
Can you hear it earlier? I mean, if you're listening to their first album, can you hear any Fairport Convention influence in there?
Not so much Fairport. But Black Waterside, I mean, that is a very traditional English folk melody. Second album, not so much. I mean, the second album was really, you know, we're a big rock band and we're going to be big and rocky. Second album, you know, never liked the second album that much.
Uh-huh. It's not as eclectic as most of their
No, really. And it's funny because individual songs on there I think are great, but listening to the whole thing at once, it's like, okay, nice sledgehammer. You know,
yeah.
Bon.
It's interesting how even within a certain song or two of Led Zeppelin's, they range various kinds of music in a single song, like, say, Ramble On, which is,
yes.
You know, it's kind of a rock song, but it's really got an acoustic guitar bass.
Or Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, which, you know, you think it's going to be such a lovely, gentle little song.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it hits you on the head. I think, for me, sort of the quintessential early Zeppelin moment is How Many More Times? Which, again, you know, great classic blues song that suddenly becomes another great classic blues song, The Hunter. And it's not even credited on the album. I'd love to have... Well, I wouldn't have loved to have been a DJ, so I'm going to play the final track. It's, you know, 3 minutes long. And, you know, 7 minutes later, you're still sitting there, huh?
Still going. Well, you know, Jimmy Page, as you point out, did a tremendous amount of session work in his pre-Zep days.
Yes.
What do you think are the best of those sessions that, if you like Led Zeppelin, you should check out?
I love the stuff he did with Donovan.
Me too.
I mean, I'm a huge Donovan fan for my sins. And, I mean, it was Jimmy and John Paul Jones were both working together. Herman's Hermits was another one which you probably wouldn't expect.
Where can you hear Jimmy Page in Herman's Hermits?
You know, I don't really know.
I mean, in their on their hit singles, or are there, you have to go deeper into their albums?
Oh, no, I mean, he's all over the place.
Well, like, I know on when we're listening to Donovan, when we hear Season of the Witch, that's Jimmy Page, right?
Yeah. Herman's Hermits, I guess every time you hear, you know, a little guitar lick, it's Jimmy Page. It's just there's nothing that really stands out. Yeah, you're not blissing to your Herman's Hermits collection. Oh, man, I can hear Jimmy. Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Herman's Hermits records, just, you know, they're just so much fun. It doesn't really matter if you can hear anybody.
Well, we're talking with Dave Thompson. One thing I love about you, Dave Thompson, is your love of pop music, not just rock music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, me too. I love that stuff. So, who were some of their contemporaries that...
I mean, there's the obvious ones. Vanilla Fudge, Iron Butterfly, you know, Black Sabbath. The whole sort of hard rock genre of the early to mid-70s, which we now kind of think of Zeppelin as being the kings of and having maybe even provoked. To a large extent, those bands were already there. This is, they all rose up together. When I was at school, so this is going back into ancient times, there was always a big, big debate, who's best, Zeppelin or Sabbath? And I must admit, I was in the Sabbath camp.
Really?
Yes. Oh, those first, you know, first three Sabbath albums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still just so great.
Do you think they hold up?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Later, going later, not so much. But those first three, you know, I never get sick of those. I mean, they're as good as anything Zeppelin did.
Well, do you think, having said that, what you just said, do you think that Led Zeppelin are better remembered because they didn't go on and on and on?
I think that's part of it. Also, Zeppelin was smart, or Zeppelin's management was smart. They told people they were the best, and people didn't argue. Other groups, I'm not going to say they were more humble, but you never heard Black Sabbath's manager sort of just walking around saying, you know, my band is the best band in the world. I mean, nobody even knows who Black Sabbath's manager was half the time. Zeppelin, though, they put up a united front. Peter Grant was, you know, probably in some circles as famous as the band. And because the band wouldn't be interviewed, Peter Grant would. And he would just sit there and sing their praises. So you had the mystique of, you know, Zeppelin not really giving interviews, you know, further mystique of them not really appearing on television. You know, something like the California Jam came along. Every major band in the world played it, apart from Zeppelin.
Right.
You know, they just set themselves apart from everybody else.
They didn't do festivals, really, did they?
No. Early on, they did, you know, when they were, you know, sort of first album, second album period. But after that, they didn't need to. You know, people just... It was Zeppelin. You know, they didn't release singles in the UK or Europe.
That's right.
You know, they just... And they made a point of telling people that they weren't going to. You know, and it's like people saying, ooh, they must be really special.
They even... I think they were the first to put out an album that didn't have their name or any writing anywhere on the outside of the record, right?
Yeah. I mean, all that stuff that they did, and they made sure people knew about it.
So now, here in America, they put a big sticker on it or something, but what about what about in England? Would it just come out just without anything written on it?
As far as I know, I've never seen a copy with anything on it. I don't remember. I was, 12 when that came out. So I wasn't buying mini LPs then. I was still buying David Bowie singles. God, he keeps getting mentioned. Go away. He's sitting in the corner throwing things at me, you see.
You've been watching Pinocchio too much, that's the
problem.
I guess Robert Plant is famous for being influenced by San Francisco music. In fact, when I saw Robert Plant a few years ago at the Paramount Theater in Oakland, he made a point of playing White Rabbit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've not heard him do that. I bet that's quite good.
Oh, it was wonderful.
So I loved his version of Season of the Witch, the Donovan song.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Plant is... It's easy to think of Plant as being sort of one-dimensional, the guy who screams for Led Zeppelin. But musically, he may be the most eclectic of them all. Because, you know, when he's let loose with covers, I mean, he just goes all over the place.
Well, there's that Honey Drippers album, right?
Yeah. But then you think of the album that he did with Alison Krauss a couple of years ago. Well, probably more than a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, but that was a great record.
Yeah. You know, and it won a Grammy.
I mean, no Led Zeppelin album ever did.
No. Whoever would have thought that, you know, he'd win a Grammy with that?
Yeah, I mean, it was Album of the Year, which is a pretty big Grammy to win.
Yeah, it's such a great record. I mean, I've always got time for his solo stuff, more so than Jimmy Page or John Paul Jones. Because I think Page never really got over the band's breakup.
He's still waiting for them to get back together.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, that slew of interviews just recently where, you know, it was Plant that said no to the, you know, to any more reunion shows.
Right.
And so, good for him, if I can dare to say that. I'm not big on bands reforming.
Yes, it's probably better to just leave things the way they
are.
Yeah,
and bands reforming for like a one-off show like the Zeppelin thing, you know, it was an event, which is what you expect from Zeppelin.
color to the west, and my spirit is crying for leaving. My thoughts I can see, rings of smoke through the trees, and the voices of those who stand
alone. I saw the movie, and it's a great movie, and the Celebration Day. But what do you think, you know, from your rock critic's chair, was it a good show?
I didn't think so. I mean, I heard tapes so pretty much, you know, a few days after the show, and it's like you knew it was Zeppelin, but they were playing the songs, whereas in the past, and this is going to sound really strange, but it was almost like the songs played them. You know, they would go out there, and a lot of it was improvised, and you could tell it was improvised because some nights it didn't work. But they went with the song and the mood of the audience, whereas I think for, you know, this reunion show, I think they rehearsed.
Yeah.
I think they had to rehearse.
You know. You would think.
Some of them hadn't played the songs for a while. yeah, but they'd rehearsed, and they didn't leave things to chance. And it wasn't really, it wasn't Led Zeppelin as we remember them. It was more Led Zeppelin as we would like to remember them. You know, there's a sort of, not perfection, but precision to it. And that's what I don't like about, you know, the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I want to see Zeppelin live, I'll watch Song Remains the Same.
Right. Well, that's, I don't know if that's such a great film, but I like the DVD that Jimmy Page put out a few years ago, which you mentioned quite a bit in your book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that was just sort of a great collection. I think Song Remains the Same, I prefer, well, partly because, you know, it's been there for so long.
Yeah.
But also because, you know, you mash it with the, whether you like the visuals or not, it does all fit together.
right, the crazy dream sequence.
Yes. And, I mean, it's such, you know, spot-on versions of all the songs.
Yeah.
I think the DVD, you know, a few years ago, there may have been better versions and wilder versions. But there is just something so perfect about the Song Remains the Same set that I've always loved that album.
We're talking to Dave Thompson, and his new book is called If You Like Led Zeppelin, blah, blah, blah.
You would love art.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting that you don't really mention the Beatles in this book.
Who were they? there was no need to.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not even being sort of snobbish about that. I think one thing about Zeppelin was they reinvented what people were allowed to use as their yardstick. You know, Jimmy Page had, you know, a bit of the being in the Beatles shadow with the Yardbirds. With Zeppelin, it's almost like, let's pretend the last, you know, 7, 8 years didn't happen. You know, their influences were very much pre-Beatles. I mean, even in the rock and roll arena, you know, it was Chuck Berry, it was Cliff Richard, who is another one that, you know, I think surprises people. But, you know, they used to do an awful lot of Cliff Richard covers.
Yeah. Cliff Richard, you know, Americans maybe are not as familiar with Cliff Richard as the British are. He never really was a big star over here.
No, that's true. Elvis was very much America's Cliff Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got that the wrong way around.
yes, America's answer. Elvis Presley, America's answer to Cliff Richard.
Elvis was America's answer to Cliff Richard. Cliff was Britain's sort of premier rock and roller of the late 50s. Before the Beatles, everything was Cliff, unless it was the Shadows, who were his backing band, who I think every guitarist, again, of the pre-Beatles era, or who grew up in the pre-Beatles era, grew up being a great Shadows fan. They also get a few mentions in the book.
Yes. Now, a few of the bands, you know, that you mention, you know, I mean, everybody, I mean, I think Donovan, he's a Hall of Famer, and people know him, and but a lot of the ones that you mentioned are kind of forgotten now, like Free.
Yeah, and I can't I can't figure out why free are, you know, as you say, sort of forgotten. Nazareth, the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were just great hard rock bands. And it's not like they were obscure in this country or anywhere else. I mean, they were big at the time. It's just the luck of the draw, isn't it?
Well, if I love Led Zeppelin, where should I start with Free?
I'd start with the first album and work my way forward. I mean, Free's big hit was All Right Now, which in some ways was not their most representative song. I think the other thing with Free, of course, is Paul Rogers going on to Bad Company.
Right.
Bad Company kind of swept up all of the kudos that Free maybe should have had. Swept them up and then rather sadly frittered them away.
And what about Nazareth? What will I find there?
Go for Razzmanazz. Great album.
Yeah?
Razzmanazz and Loud and Proud. I think they're the Nazareth albums I always return to. And they were great. I mean, they were just a very sort of basic blues rock band who could border on metal when they wanted. But they were like Zeppelin in as much as they never felt beholden to one style. They would do some stunning blues that sounded like the blues. You know, they could move into folkier territory when they wanted to. And just like Zeppelin, it seemed very unpretentious. You know, some groups, you know, it's almost like they put hats on saying, and now we're going to do our folk number. Nazareth, like Zeppelin, never really suffered from that.
They were the same kind of eclecticism of kind of mixing it all up.
Yeah, and again, you know, the same, I think, appreciation for a past that wasn't quite as recent as, you know, the aforementioned Beatles.
Yeah, the Beatles, who are they? And you also talk about Pink Floyd in your book, but you don't talk about the Pink Floyd that everybody already knows, which I guess makes sense, since everybody already knows it. But you talk about the Pink Floyd album that kind of predates...
Piper at the Gates of Dawn, yeah. Jimmy Page was a huge early Pink Floyd fan. He may have remained a fan afterwards, but you know, he's on record on many occasions saying how much he loved Sid Barrett, who was Floyd's original songwriter, and before Roger Waters took over. I said that delicately, didn't I?
Yeah. Before they fired Sid. But give us an example, if you can. What if I'm thinking of the Pink Floyd and that first Pink Floyd album, where would I hear a connection with Led Zeppelin?
I think in a very effortless songwriting. Again, you know, later Floyd, you know, you can see him. They sat there with their, you know, really thinking about the lyrics and checking the spelling in their thesauruses. Whereas the first Floyd album has that, well, it was 1967, so, you know, it has that sort of airy, psychedelic feel to it. There's not really, I mean, I don't think there's any point where you could say musically they converge with Zeppelin. It's very hard to go from, you know, Bike to Since I've Been Loving You. But just in terms of their approach, I think the two bands did share an approach to sound. You know, there was wanting to be adventurous for the sake of being adventurous, not for the sake of, oh, this will sound good and might sell another few records. Which, again, I think is very much a lost art.
We're talking with Dave Thompson. His new book is called If You Like Led Zeppelin. So let's talk a little bit about the influenced by guys. Like we. Say one more time.
I said, must we?
Well, it's a part of your book, is it not?
Yes, I know.
You talk about the White Stripes a lot.
I also did a book a few years ago called I Hate New Music. No. I mean, Zeppelin's influence is, I mean, that was probably the hardest part of the book to write, because it's very difficult to quantify Led Zeppelin's influence as opposed to Led Zeppelin copyists.
Mm-hmm.
White Stripes, I think, were one of the bands that, you know, you could definitely put into the influence bag, simply because they didn't really sound like Led Zeppelin. But, you know, again, to go back to what I was saying about Pink Floyd, there is a similarity in approach, dynamics, and sonics. Of all the bands that have come along, since Zeppelin's lifetime, who you could say they started as a Zeppelin covers group, and there are a lot, I think Heart were the ones that did it best.
Mm-hmm.
The first three Heart albums very much cut in a sort of a pioneering mode that knew what its influences were, but also knew what to do with them. And, you know, whether or not one likes what Heart became, particularly during the 80s, yeah, Dreamboat Annie, Little Queen, and most of Magazine, I think, albums that any band could be proud of.
So you don't think Beyonce is particularly influenced by...
Only in the codpiece department. Justin Bieber thing.
All right. Well, you hate new music, but that's okay because
who are these people?
We love
in my mouth.
We both love the old stuff.
The problem, sticking with influence by for a moment, the problem is a lot of groups, I think, came along. You know, we like Led Zeppelin, therefore we are going to do our best to sound like them. And who was it? Who was that awful band in the 80s who I wrote about in the book? And I completely forgotten their name. But there was one band in the 80s, and, I mean, you played it, and it was like, yes, this is sort of Led Zeppelin Jr. And it's like, why are you doing this? What is the point? And maybe it's just as well, I can't remember their name, because there's somebody listening to this who loves them.
Yeah.
They were the greatest band in the world. Zeppelin were rubbish by comparison. And you've got groups like The Mission. Who's not who I was thinking of, but again, you know, The Mission were very much a band who everybody wanted them to be goth. They wanted to be Led Zeppelin. And the later into their career they got, you know, the more it showed, and I hate to say it, but the more desperate it got as well.
Well, it's an opinionated book, and that's what we love. It's called If You Like Led Zeppelin, Here Are Over 200 Bands, Films, Records, and Other Oddities That You Will Love. And the author is Dave Thompson. Thank you for coming back to From the Bookshelf. I hope we get a chance to talk again real soon.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
That's it for this edition of From the Bookshelf. I hope you had a good time and that you'll come back and see us again next week. In the meantime, check out our podcast page. It's fromthebookshelf.com. You can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, and you can visit us on Facebook. I want to thank my guest, Dave Thompson. His new book, If You Like Led Zeppelin, Here Are Over 200 Bands, Films, Records, and Other Oddities That You Will Love. From the Bookshelf is produced by Francis Venegas. I'm Gary Shapiro. See you next time.